away. Mato's still going.
Better than most. Better than most.
Critical takeoff. He falls into the pit. He's going to get spat out.
Please make welcome the Ball and All podcast, James Tiger Woods, Berrick Eckerbarts, and the king of speaking in the third person, Steve Condor Condo Condon.
Back in the shed, here we are today, boys. It's Monday's experts.
Monday's episode 12, yeah. So I guess let's touch back. You two are in the shed, back in the shed for a long form one. First time, Saturday arvo. Talk to us. Kai Hurst, how was it?
Yeah, he was great, mate. We had Satsy filled in and Sammy Stewart, first cab off too. A lot of people probably in the area won't know, but he's got his own podcast, Pebble in the Pond.
Oh, so he's got a silky smooth voice.
He's a good orator, Sammy. His is a really deep dive with mental health and that sort of stuff. With some of the biggest sort of heavy hitters in that industry around the place. So Sammy does a good one. So Pebble in the Pond, if you want to have a listen. But it was great to chat to Kai. You were involved in the clinic, Satsy. Like Kai come down for a clinic with Lennox Nippers. So tell us a bit about that.
Mate, he was top shelf. So he's really, really good about breaking the skill down. So he was sort of, you know, when you run out with your nippers board, you get out the back, round the cone, you come in. Mate, he breaks it down to before you start, entry in, bunny hops when you get, you know, over the wave, while you're paddling, catching a wave, coming in, transition. It was just amazing to see how he breaks the skill down. Mate, he was top shelf and he was really good in here. I looking at the stats on him, I think the comment was world's greatest endurance athlete.
When you break it down, mate, he's four times Australian Ironman champ in an era of the best of the best.
Yeah.
And he won his first when he was 17. He was on the circuit at 15.
Yeah. And I actually said that to him.
Really? Yes,
15.
I remember Lane watching, you know, Wild World of Sports, Darryl Eastlake, and I'm thinking, fuck, this bloke's just like a god. And he was a couple of years older than me. When I was a little fat little teenager.
Yeah, he's tallish.
Tall, big calves.
Yeah, big calves. we were fucking amazed at his calves, weren't we?
Really? But, did you get a string and water?
Well, wondering if he got chafed there, but we didn't ask that question. But the thing about him, like that, you think about that, right? He's transitioned from that into ocean. So his swimming was, we spoke about it, his main core sport. Yeah. But he swam at two Olympics in open water in 2008, 2012. 2008, he was leading with about not much to go and then just fell off a cliff at the end and couldn't hold on. But what people don't know is he trialled out for three Olympics prior to that in the 1500 metres, only to be beaten by Kieran Perkins, Glenn Houseman, and then Kowalski and Hackett and Craig Stevens and Hackett. So he just came along at one of the worst times to be a 1500 metre swimmer ever.
Fuck, you got to be a fit cunt to swim 1500.
And the third thing, sailing.
Sailing. He's a sailor.
So he was a grinder for Team America in the America's Cup and then won with Sail Australia and the GP, the World GP sailing stuff.
Yeah, that's good, man. It was really interesting. But those head grinders, you basically, like you explained it, Barnsley, it's like a bike for your hands. So you're just standing upright or sitting.
Almost like an assault bike sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It used to be like,
you say Phil Waugh, the rugby player, was really good at it.
Yeah, he did it for Loyal on the Sydney to Hobart there and did a bit of that as well. So, anyway, that'll drop in maybe a week or so. But a good listen, mate. There's not too many guys who worked harder and were more ruthless in terms of their preparation and stuff than him. So.
And you said it well. You can see it in his eyes. You just love the pain. Eh? You would have been a fucking absolute
His nickname
nightmare.
Was Killer.
Yeah.
And I think when you listen to the podcast, you'll kind of find out.
I was chatting on the beach yesterday with Josh Gillette, our local extreme triathlete. He won the first Healthy Minds triathlon.
He won the Bodie Boys one.
He won the Bodie
Boys.
He's
going for three peat.
Anyway, we were just chatting about getting on the run and that hurt. Like, you know, you can be good at swimming, you can be good at bike, you can, you know, but how are you going to be after all three when someone you don't want to beat you is right behind you? How far are you willing to go?
Yeah.
And he was just talking about, I think there's a couple of maybe really good triathlon guys that he trains with locally that are better than him that are in it. I go, will you go? He goes, I'll go to a drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe Kai Hurst is that same sort of mentality. Well, like, what are you willing to do to beat, you know, Rian, or what are you willing to do to beat Pidge? I'll collapse if I have to.
That was his mentality.
Yeah.
It was an animal. And it's the same as like sitting opposite us. He looked for extras. So he'd do all the fucking hard stuff and then he wanted more. And he was saying with his coaching, it's really hard when he coaches kids these days to think, fuck, why doesn't everyone want to have a crack here? Like he's just wired differently. What, and the other thing, Dan McCabe from Lennox Gelato was saying.
And thanks to him too for sponsoring it too.
Awesome, so,
and obviously us with the ball and all, we sponsored it as well on Club Lennox, all three. So great combo just to get him down here as well. But go with Dan.
Well, I was just going to say, in Ironman, you've got board, ski, swim.
Yeah.
And running, and he runs in between.
Runs in between.
Your swim leg determines like how well you go eventually. You can be, you know, like everyone's pretty close in the board. You know, you're there or thereabouts in the ski, but if you're a good swimmer, chances are, and taking nothing away from Kai, but his strength obviously was so good, you know, being swimming.
He also won Australian board champs too, so he's good in that.
He's no slouch on that
stuff. But interesting what he said too about Hackett. He said, I've come across no one who worked harder than Grant Hackett. Mm. Ruthless. Psycho. Just a psycho. And how about, what was it, 100 hundreds?
So he does. He's for training, would do 100 hundreds. In a pool, swimming, 100 hundreds on the 110. So you swim from, you know, starting up, back, 100 metres on the 110, you turn again, you go, and you do that 100 times.
And so the last 10, you do it in a minute five. So it takes, what would your PB be, 53, maybe 26, 27, if you go and gunning
it? Well, Sammy Stewart said he had a real crack the other day, and I think as quick as he could go for the first one was like a minute and eight.
Like he, so for he one,
as fast, like he was fucking flying. And he'd do it, that bloke would do it 100 times.
But if you realistically wanted to imagine Sammy Stewart swimming, it's like, you know, the hippo that chases the guide boat or the tour boat. That's Sammy Stewart going along a pool. It's a big fucking weapon. That's crazy.
Anyway, that'll drop in about a week or so. So good times, mate.
Around the grounds.
Yeah, around the grounds. Hey, let's start. Look, before we get on to cricket, let's just start surfing. Because, mate, Byron Bay pulling off one of the great results of all time. Was there a bit of envy in there? Or were you happy for him?
Oh, I wanted them to win out of the four finalists. Merriweather have already won it. Mm. Evoca have already won it. Snapper have won it. Like, it's sick that Byron won. Obviously, super jealous. The best we've done was last year where we got fourth.
Why didn't you guys go, Woody?
We didn't make it.
Oh, right. So didn't make Newcastle.
So you have to qualify in the North Coast region. Byron won that. We lost in the semi-final. You had to make the final to –
yeah,
to get a ticket down to the actual national final.
What was the Byron team?
The Byron team in the Wilsey final was amazing. I mean, it was obviously Dakota Walters, who was sort of the linchpin. Like he was probably by far, or not by far, him and Morgan Siblick were probably the two standouts over the weekend for the surfing.
Surf for them for long?
Hugh Grancher, Solly Bailey, Danny Wills.
Yeah, Solly Bailey, Danny Wills. Who's
Kondo, did you watch it, mate?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Dakota, Duke Rancher, Sully Bailey, Wilsey. I can't remember the female. And
Manon. Her name's Manon Pinot. She's like it's a French
name. That's it.
Yep.
And I reckon if you rated the performances and listening to Sully talk and Wilsey talk, I don't think they could be ever more endorsing of the fact of, you know, the clutch moments for Dakota. Dakota was probably, if you're rating it, out of 10, he was probably 9.9 out of 10 over the day on the Sunday, and the closest was probably Morgan, who was probably a point lower. I mean, Dakota, what Dakota did in that semi-final where he paddled out, and I think he needed like a mid-3, maybe 4, and he had about maybe 2 minutes, and he basically paddled into a shore, he took off on his backhand, did a backhand, you'd probably call it a backhand air reverse, landed it, and then had to get into the shore and then sprint up the beach. I think he got back within 10 seconds. Like, was amazing.
Oh, that was their first heat, I think. That was to get him out of there.
No. He did something similar in the semi-final.
Ah, okay.
Like Dakota under the pump was amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
He was the game changer. So Dakota's obviously grown up in Angari. His family's quite a well-known Angari family, Yamba family. They don't really have a very consistent board riders there. They've got like unbelievable surfers there. They could have it. They could feel.
Don't they?
They just, I don't know, for whatever
Yamba's
reason.
Yamba's a weird town like that, mate. Like, for all its awesome qualities and its amazing things, like their town in terms of their footy, union, surf, it just. They're not on the map, and I don't know why.
Yeah, well, surfing-wise.
Yeah, and he's got it. He's got a. I mean, for a young kid, he's got a long-time girlfriend who's a Byron Bay girl.
Okay.
So he's moved up. He's moved up to Byron. Up
surfing for Byron. Yeah.
He moved up to Byron. He wanted to do. He's sort of starting to get involved. He's about 20, I think, or 21. He's wanting to do the QS events and start to put a bit of energy into the comps. He's sort of been more of a free surfer sort of guy for the last few years. Anyway, he, I guess, just wanted to do some comps, like, you know, do board riders once a month. So he sort of started to get involved with them last year, got them fired up, joined Byron. It was come down to Coffs for the qualifier and it was waist high. It was pretty small. He surfs pretty light and just made us look like a fucking bag of shit. Like, he looked so good.
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff he was doing in really like average weak waves, I don't think I could do that with a jet ski assist.
Mate, it's the best form of surf competition, hands down for me. I just think it's so good for the viewership. It becomes a team sport. I remember I used to watch you blokes and you were always really, really good at it. You'd go out, you'd get your fucking six or your seven or early and get it done like that, and then you'd have other blokes go out. It becomes a team sport. And the other thing I love about it, mate, is you're seeing blokes that are concreters from Central Coast and blokes that don't, you know, they rip. I remember watching, there's a little stocky guy that is a little concreter. And I think
Shane Holmes from North Shelley.
He is a guru at it. Does the same thing that Woody does. Goes out, he's rock solid, gets his waves quick.
They won last year. They were the defending champ.
Yeah. And that's what, like, I'm no expert, but you seem to need a team. You don't want a rock star team, I don't reckon, in my opinion. You want a team of Woodies that go and get your sixes, sevens quickly within your time frame. Yeah.
It's one of the – you make a good point, because it's one of the few sports that, and I reckon it's the Koori Knockout, the rugby league tournament, where it's Australian, it's hardcore Australian, it's – you need a team, you know what I mean? And it's just – and it's great to what you said, the local concreter, tradie, or he could be the bloody banker, it doesn't matter, but you put him in that jersey and you see him compete against, say, Latrell Mitchell in the knockout, or you see him compete against, you know – Melling or bloody, you know, one of the, you know, Parker or something, and he goes toe-to-toe and you go, how the hell doesn't
it?
It's just life choices and things that happen that lead you in different paths, but it's great to see them coming together.
And it was, this is the thing that nearly got Byron. So what would happen? So you got five surfers, but the power surfer surfs again. So you got six guys throughout 50 minutes. You got about 8 minutes of surfer if you include the power surfer getting his last wave at the end. So Dakota would start nearly every round. They surfed about two rounds, semi-final or something like that. It was about four heats yesterday for the tag. He nearly started with a seven-plus ride. Then Solly would get something in the six or seven, which is or better. And then they'd just fucking fall off a cliff, because they're young kids like Duke and Manon, the girl. They'd freak out thinking they had to get the same score.
Yeah.
When you let the big boys get the points, they've just got to get
a solid five or three.
A 3-5 in 3 or 5 minutes. That's where they nearly fucked it, because they were letting these other teams come back in, because they'd take 20 minutes for a two, and then Dakota at the end would only get 2 minutes and he'd need a score, instead of Dakota having 10 minutes to get.
That's where you need like almost a manager on the beach.
Well, they got Wilsey there.
So
Wilsey wasn't surfing. He was just
coaching.
No,
he was surfing.
Did he surf all
right? No, Wilsey was surfing.
He did really well in the final. He made up time.
Yeah,
100%. He made up time. He was like the second last surfer before Dakota went back out, and he read the situation. There was about 9 minutes left. Got a 3-5, got in, got Dakota out. There was six or seven minutes, and he got enough time where they all could have won. Snapper had Sheldon. They went to the lead. Morgan needed a wave from Merriweather. It didn't link up. He tried to turn in the wrong spot, fucked it. And then Dakota got the wave behind him and beat him by like half a point.
But that last wave is critical, because you can't, like your other waves, you get one crack at
that
last wave, don't you?
So
you want a bloke that's going to give you, get the score, not fall, but be unselfish enough to know that I might have fucking 2 minutes to make this decision. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, there's so much decision.
There's so much happening in the last. So, and the other thing as well is, if you're the last surfer and you're sitting out there and every other team's in, and then you go, Berwick, you need a four, you've only got a wave, and if you're not inside that 3 minutes, They take 5 points off your total.
All right. You guys are all surfing fans. If you could have one surfer and he can't, oh, I don't know, you could be a pro or someone you've surfed with locally who you could have surf that last, you got 2 minutes to get a four to win your board riders, who would you take?
Can I pick anyone in the world?
Yeah.
No, it's got to be a local bloke.
I reckon, you've got to pick a local Woody and you can pick anyone, Sats.
I was going to say Woody. Because I fucking think Woody does the best job out of any. I've seen them all do it. Like the team changes all the time. He's the best at going out and getting the job done. And you told me this one time. If you go and analyse the scores, you don't need everyone to get 10s. If everyone gets fives,
sixes, 5 will get you a win.
Five times six is 30 points. So I think Byron won the final.
Look at a mask, Woody.
I think Byron won the final with 32 maybe or something, 31.
Yeah.
And that was due to Dakota having a nine.
So had everyone else just done their job simply.
Yeah, if they just got threes, they would have been sitting.
All right, who's your local bloke that you'd take? Woody?
My forever Love one it. Is Medina. Because he paddles around like a lunatic.
Like if you had Medina as your power surfer, he could be sitting out there and we could have all fucking had a shocker and he needed a nine, he'd just do a flip. Fucking cartwheel up the rocks,
but
fucking
also,
jump people over like fucking witch's hats and come in. Like he,
because you need a hassler too. You want a bloke that can paddle on the inside, don't you, Woody? To just because there's no sort of priority at that last wave.
So you just
he'll
go
fucking
nuts.
Paddle you up the rocks.
We had a. I mean, this is off topic, but this is how it can fuck up. We had a team that went to the Goldie for a qualifying one for the Jim Beam, which was the
original
team,
one. Yeah.
The original one. It was Owen Wright on the CT, Adam Melling on the CT. Stewie was.
Are you
kidding? It was the year Stewie qualified on the CT. Joey Hutto was the senior man, and I was I was one of the surfers as well. So anyway, we came last in the comp. So Owen went out, fell off, and we're like, oh, fuck it. He fucked up. Sweet. Melling will do something good. Melling went out, fucked up, got like a three. Hutto got a fucking two.
We just kept waiting for
someone to do something good, whereas the other guys just got fives and beat it.
Is it North Narrabeen that are notoriously good?
They live for that shit. They're all the down there. It's so good. So Central Coast, like not the Central Coast and the Northern Beaches, they have like King of the Coast.
So they're trained for it essentially. Well, they have a
winter event when there's not much happening in the team stuff, where you got. From all the way down your minor, all the way up to the entrance, there's like 10 clubs and it's King of the Coast. There's big clubs there, Avoca, there's North Shelley, there's the Womble, there's Soldiers. There's like about 10 clubs, Copacabana, they all go against each other. So they're doing the events regularly. We probably got to do something a bit like that or at least make some inter-club stuff more happening so the kids get better at it. But
all in all board riders.
Fully.
Can I make a comment? I reckon with this Byron Bay win, I don't reckon you can underestimate the leadership of Danny Wills.
Yeah.
Like the guy's been, I mean, we had him on the podcast. We all know him reasonably well. Like you cannot underestimate the leadership of Danny and Solly, I think, that have been like, you know, knocking at the door for well over a decade. And then you throw in somebody, you know, that's got that dynamic, you know, performance under, like, you know, under the pump that can really pull out clutch moments like Dakota, and you got a winner. Like, and I think, you know, if Byron Bay board riders are, you know, riding around pub to pub in Byron, like, you know, the first person they should be thanking and celebrating is that mentorship and just the quiet way that he goes about his leadership in Danny Wills. He's a class human. Class leader, and a lot of that younger echelon should really be tapping him on the shoulder and trying to, you know, drink whatever Danny's drinking daily.
Well said, Kondos. Cricket, boys, I don't know about you blokes. I stayed up till, I don't know, near on 11 o'clock and watched that BBL final the other night, and that was next level stuff.
Crazy.
Like, I'm so glad I did because you're sitting there at times, I was nodding off, and, mate, it got down to the last over there, and the Heat could not have done more. Like when you think about what they've done, the Brisbane Heat, to get to the final, they were last on the ladder turning the corner at the halfway mark of the season. They go on a run and win 7 of 8.
Yep.
They get there. They win all the way. No teams won it from fifth. They did everything right in that final only to be undone by another Ashton Turner masterclass with the bat and then two young kids, Hobson and Cooper Connolly, the Australian and under-19 captain last year, comes out. and just hits it from frickin' nut. The two kids had batted twice, I think, in the comp. They'd been going that well.
Yeah, that was a masterclass. I couldn't believe the
crowd.
What
is it about the Scorchers, Barnsley?
Scorchers, I think they've just got a culture there that's gone back to day dot of those. A few guys like your Brad Hoggs and your
Marsh brothers and
yeah,
stuff.
Marshes. They're good team men. I think even too Mr. Cricket.
Oh, Hussey.
Hussey. Just that WA sort of culture and the way I describe it for people on the East Coast is a bit like that Queensland spirit. When you it's mythical. Everyone talks about it. Now I know you're gonna laugh about a condo, but there's something there about they support their own. They fucking support their own hard. Like nowhere else in Australia would you have put that final on last night other than Adelaide. You have seen 50,000 people there? Nowhere else.
Did anyone see on...
Can I ask a question, Barnsley? Has Langer had a big influence on the Scorchers?
Oh, through his career, yes, because of WA cricket. Right now in this team, probably none, but I'd say yes. He's a name I left out, and I apologise for that. But I think guys like Adam Voges, who are unheralded, who is their coach, they recruit guys, I think, that fit a mould. Oh, Renshaw's heat, but they fit a mould of what they want. Like they could have gone with six or seven bowlers last night. It wouldn't have mattered. They will fit that sort of WA sort of thing. And you look through their team, there's not one bloke there who's a rock star.
Mm. Well, it's the same point as we made before on the surfing. You probably don't need them. You just got to play a particular style of cricket.
Yeah.
And they did that. Mate, if you're the Heat or you'd back the Heat at the 10 over mark when they batted, you would get in line. You was kind of like, they're on fire. And then they just collapsed.
Well, it's so hard. I thought actually that I didn't feel like they lost the game. Yes, they put a couple of catches. Like if Brown catches that one out there on the boundary to get rid of Connolly, it probably changes the momentum late in that game. But, you know, I thought Nessa did an incredible job to get them to that point. Everyone did their job. I thought the Scorchers won the game.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, they went out there, they had to win it. They had to be the better team and they were made to do that. And I think as a product – if you're a Nike or you're involved in cricket and sponsorship in some way, you're going, thank fuck, this season delivered. And getting the Test stars back, even for a small part of the season, just was awesome.
I kind of reckon it's not sick, but it's cool that all the Test stars, all the big names are out. So it was like those young guys that you're saying that it gave a chance for some new players to really
shine
and in a high-pressure situation. And
I agree with you, and that happened, but I think it was on the back of – when you get that little bit of an up, when the season was starting to dive a little bit in care factor, we had Labuschagne, Steve Smith. Steve Smith lit it up. Yeah. Like, you know, that was some of the best batting I've ever seen from any player and including him. And then Khawaja was on fire. Yeah, you had these guys just give it that boost it needed going into the finals. And
did you see the Test players on Instagram watching it?
Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? Exactly.
Where half the room, like you got Labuschagne and that.
Yeah,
can you imagine Labuschagne just in your ear, like, nee, 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 nee.
And then the Scorcher boys sitting in the back going,
Nah, it was great. Nah, good for cricket. And look, that Test starts on the 9th, in about 4 days. And I think, Kondo, you were saying on the text we're missing three or so players?
Yeah, well, it looks like – well, it starts,
Nagpur.
Starts on Thursday and it looks – yeah, and Hazelwood and Stark are out and Cameron Green. So,
Wow, Green's
like we're,
I don't think the fast bowlers is a bigger issue because it'll be a spinning deck, imagine.
So, yeah, Stark, Green and Hazelwood all out. But I watched a little bit of stuff on the news last night. They were saying that Boland will definitely play. And he's played well on a Melbourne flat track. And there was another guy, I can't remember his name, was it?
Oh, they're going to play Lance Morris.
Lance Morris. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big call. I hope he's
real
fit.
Yeah, real bolter.
Because he bowls reasonably express. Oh, look, there's been so much talk about Lance Morris. And when I've seen him bowl, I haven't been...
Is he good,
Barnsley? Well, according to all of judges, they all reckon he's relatively expressive. Like he bowls high, like he bowls 140s, high 140s, that sort of pace. But look, in seeing him in the BBL, he hasn't blown me away. I actually reckon the guy who's been the best find was that Spencer from the Heat, the left armour. My memory's shot, but that young left armour, he actually really lit it up too. He was bowling high 140s with ease. So, you know, look, I hope Lance Morris goes well. He's been knocking on the door for a little while and has big raps. So, I look forward to seeing him go at test level. But I think what it's going to come down to is how well our spinners can go. you know, and who can bowl in tandem with Lyon for long periods of time?
Agar, they've taken over. Agar play.
Do you think not having Zampa there is a bit of a blowout? Like, should he have gone? Or
well, it's interesting. Apparently, he was available. I just thought he was just playing T20, but no, they just don't think he's a guy they want at test level because he doesn't apparently turn it enough. He bowls relatively straight and at the stumps, but, you know, like his coach, who was his coach for a few years, came out the other day and said, you know, it would be an advantage having him in the team. But, yeah, because I thought at least if he can tie it out and end.
Yeah.
Look, they reckon this other off spinner too, who was playing for the Sixers. Kondo, what's his name? Do you know the guy they've taken?
No, I don't actually.
Spencer Johnson, the Heat kid.
Yeah. Mate, I reckon he's one to look out for.
Yeah, there you go.
For sure. Left armer, bowls rapid, you know, with ease. So he's kind of like a Mitch Johnson type player. Look, but yeah, look, they've taken a couple of spinners. I think, you know, whoever they partner with, Lyon's got a big role to play. But that's in 4 days, so. Good watching. Like, this is one of the best years of cricket coming, I reckon, we've seen for a long, long time.
I hope we can get up here. I'd love for them to get a win.
Oh, it'd be awesome, mate. But I think it's going to be hard when you see the likes of those players out. But if Steve Smith, but they don't have, the form is in.
Jasper Bumrah is not there.
That's a great point. Bumrah's not there Rashid Pant.
Yeah, Pant.
So that's two big outs for them. Bumrah's a huge out.
That's a huge one because he was – no one could play him last time they played.
Nah, he was their bowler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, it makes for an interesting series. No, it should be good. NRL, Latrell and just having a wrestle, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it was a couple event.
Of fucking big boys on the Rams. Leave them alone.
Imagine those two.
Bag's not wrestling either of them.
Would have taken half a team of SWAT to get them down, you'd think.
Just see the video.
Is there a video?
Latrell's got his – there's about fucking eight coppers around him and he's just going – get off me, my shoulders. Like he's blowing up. He's in pain. And they just said there's a statement there. They just said they were having a muck around. They'd clearly been on the piss all day. They thought it was
Jack
probably White's just them
30th. They were just there to celebrate his birthday.
Really?
Latrell was staying at his house.
Yeah, him and his missus. And it's funny, they're supposed to be playing together this weekend for the Indigenous.
Well, they are. They just got on the plane, I think. So
I wonder if it's all sweet. But to them, it's probably just a fucking.
Yeah.
It was like it's. They would have done it every Saturday night, just haven't been caught before and pinned down by 10 coppers.
Yeah. Go, Kondo.
Yeah, can I just highlight something about the press? Like, they're happy to jump on, like, you know, all these peanuts at the, you know, Daily Telegraph and Fox are happy to jump on something like this where you've got two high-profile players having a bit of a wrestle. They're obviously good mates. You know, Latrell's down there staying at Jack's place, blah, 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 blah. But they don't want to write about the CBA agreement.
Yeah.
Still not sorted. Like, they're just the biggest bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah, but like, end of the day, Kondo, Latrell and Jack getting arrested sells 40,000 more papers in Western Sydney than the CBA agreement, and that's all they care about.
No, well, I don't agree with that. I reckon if it was reported correctly, the sort of stuff that you're hearing behind the scenes, people would read the papers.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point.
It's not been reported anywhere.
Yeah. I reckon if
you
came...
It's an absolute load of bloody bullshit. Like, you know, they want to jump on Latrell and Jack having a bit of a wrestle, but they don't want to report about the big issues in the game, which is that you got, you know, Volandis and Abdo and Clint Newton, you know, that, you know, I would say the big egos are sitting in, you know, NRL headquarters, and they just don't want to sort it out for whatever reason.
I reckon
like,
if this
sort
is the
fucking thing out. We've got 2 weeks to go, and if you really want to write about league issues, report about that.
If this is the biggest issue, but I reckon the NRL are sitting there today going, fuck, please let that be as bad as it gets. You know, like previous years, there's been some fucking shockers this close to the start of the season, and if this is this year's scandal, fuck.
Well, you know what's funny? I actually don't think the rugby league cares. They're actually happy this is happening because, as Kondo said, it's taking light away from what they should be doing.
Yes.
And
well,
they're not.
Good point.
100%.
But rugby league is one of the few games in the world that thrives on conflict and more shit happening. Like, and because it's owned by newspapers, it sells when shit goes bad. So, really, whilst they're all blowing up and down in arms, they're probably. They'd it's almost be better off backhandering people in the off season. Go, mate, I need you to go to Bali and fuck this up.
Well, you think about it too.
Barnsley, let's get it correct. It's not owned by newspapers, it's owned by one corporation, News Corp.
Yeah, good point.
Well, you do like a poll on 30ths, and wrestles at 30th, like fucking all day drinking wrestles at just anyone's
Robbie Kirkwood.
Any male 30th, it's probably what, in the 80%? Unless you're someone's wrestling at the end of a 30th, for sure.
Oh, anyway. It's interesting. What boys are saying, there's a couple of docos out at the moment. You were saying the Storm have got a mini pre-season one.
Yeah, there's really
it's good. Nights.
Yeah, it's good. You've seen it, Condo, hey? I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, I have.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think they're both been really well done, especially the, I mean, everything Storm does is top shelf, but the Storm one's really good. I mean, holy dooly, House of Pain down there during the pre-season, off-season, that camp that they do at Geelong every year. Had a quick chat to Frank Panisi prior to the camp, and they've just finished that camp. I mean, that organisation pride themselves on the fact that it's always seen to be a really difficult pre-season, and having a quick chat to Nick Meehan and down there at the Storm, I think this year has been really difficult. So, you know, they're coming in with a lot of I wouldn't say leadership worries, but they've lost a lot of senior leadership with, you know, the guys that have moved up to the Dolphins and whatever, and they've engaged Selwood, you know, down there. He's done a lot of work through this leadership camp that they've done at Geelong. I know Wisey's down there this week. So they're engaging a lot of external, consultants, factors to bring in to try and shore themselves up. So I don't know. Watch that doco. It's really good. So.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting season for them. I hope Pappenhausen's right. I don't know. I'm hearing rumours that it's a bit worse than what people think. So hopefully it's not that bad.
Barnsley, is that the hemi or the knee?
Well, I actually don't know which one, but that injury he was suffering back last year, I think, because he's gone over to the States to work with that same bloke that Latrell did. I just hope he gets back, because it just for the game of rugby league, and as a person who loves watching that, is entertainment, and he plays the game in the right way, Pap. So,
question for you, mate: who's more important to their team, Pappenhausen or Tommy Turbo?
Oh, Tommy Turbo by about 500%.
Yeah,
Tommy's out, they're going to go way worse than the Storm will go if Paps is out.
Yeah. Well, the Storm, I think, have just built a culture around the fact that they can overcome those setbacks, and they've had more time now.
Yeah.
Well, saying that, like, Manly have had a shitload of time without Tommy to deal with it, but probably haven't done it as well. But I think, the Storm have guys there and a system that's built to cope.
You got the best six and the best nine in the comp. Like, Harry Grant's the best nine. Munster's probably the best six.
But you got Jerome Hughes there who ties that all in together.
That's what I mean.
You're right. Manly's different.
You've got Cherry Evans and fucking Scoover Shannon. Like, who else is
Scoover But the difference with it, Manly play off the cuff footy. Like, not off the cuff, but it kind of relies on individuals being there. Whereas the Storm are made better with a system, and perhaps obviously enhances it, but he isn't the sole relier on it to do it. Whereas Manly, you look to two players, and they need momentum from their Ola Kawatus and that in order to do it. It might be different with Seabold and Flanagan there. It may change, but interesting times in the world of rugby league.
But if you want to cut to the chase there, I think also you've got I don't know, what is he, 20-plus years experienced coach, multiple premiership winner in Bellamy, opposed to, I don't know, I'd probably, after the comments I saw when he wanted to take Peter Peters on with Seabold, I'd probably say an inexperienced coach not returning to Manly, but taking the Manly job. I'm not sure that that's sort of what I'd be doing at Manly. You know, Peter Peters is... I don't know. He's part of the furniture out there at Manly. I'm not sure that that's the first tack that I'd taking him on when he made one or two comments about Tommy Turbo.
Yeah, well, interesting. Good points. UFC, Volkanovski is back fighting in Australia, in Perth, Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. It'll be Sunday, Australian time, probably around 2 or 3 o'clock. They're the last fight. He's fighting with his belt, the 145-pound belt, against the 155-pound belt. So it's about roughly 65 or 70 kilos is 145, and then I think it's about high 70s for one. Is that right, 155 pounds?
So is Volkanovski going up or down to take this fight?
He's going up 10 pounds, which
is a big
jump.
I don't know the actual
kilos.
I think 155 is 70 kilos, isn't it? Yeah, roughly?
Probably around seven, is it? Between five to seven? Which is a bit like, we don't sound like much, but in that league when you're wrestling.
Yeah. So he's fighting Islam Makhachev, who's a Dagestani guy. He fought sort of in the Khabib stable. He obviously ran through Oliveira, who had the 155 belt. Volkanovski is the pound for pound rated number one on the UFC, so they do a pound for pound thing. He's had, I think, four or five belt defenses, or maybe more, six belt defenses in 145, and he's fucking smashed everyone. Smashed Holloway, who's been his main rival, who he took the belt from.
And this guy's number two, isn't he?
So now he's going up a weight just to fight someone that will give him a real hard fucking go, and it probably doesn't get any harder for him, really. This guy is an extremely good wrestler. Like they do the – it's called Sambo or Sumba wrestling. It's like a freestyle wrestling they do in Dagestan. It's the stuff that Khabib used to just throw.
Right, so it's a combo of sort of judo and jiu-jitsu, is it?
Yeah, I don't really know too much about it, but they are really good at tying someone up, getting on top of them, smashing them.
Mm. You sorry, Kondo?
All right. No, no, I'm all good. No,
I think we had Rex coming through on the phone there, did we?
No, the only comment I'd make is it correct that Conor McGregor's coming out of retirement?
Yeah, that though he's coming out to fight on the it's called the is it the UFC? It's like the Contender Series. So right. they have
he's coaching on that.
He's
isn't
coaching
he?
On the yeah. It's like the he's a coach against Michael Chandler. They're in the same weight division. Generally, when you're on that and you have two separate teams, the two coaches, the UFC fighters, usually fight. So they'll probably fight at a later date this year, Kondo. They haven't had a there's no dates or anything like that, but he will probably fight him.
Mm.
But
well, that'll sell. Anything he's involved in.
But, you
sells.
Know, there could be a thing where if Volk has a blinder, beats Islam in and takes the 155 belt, he could be fighting McGregor if McGregor wins the Chandler fight. Say he wins this fight, he could have 6 months off, wait for McGregor. McGregor beats Chandler. McGregor gets a shot at Volkanovski.
Wouldn't Volkanovski destroy him though? Maybe if he not gets in that
through,
size.
It's going to be a really tough match to get through Islam.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
Yeah, great for Perth, mate, and Australia to get a fight of this magnitude straight after a BBL final.
It's sold out in Perth.
It's awesome.
Will they do it at that same stadium?
No, I think they've got an indoor arena where like the where they have all their concerts and a bit it's, like kind of Rod Laver arena.
Yeah, the UFC sold out in fucking 5 minutes for that. It's like 30,000 seats.
Huge.
It'll be an absolute belter of a fight. If he can get through the first round and stay on his feet or at least use a bit of his takedown defense, which is stopping Islam from getting him to the ground. As it goes on, they usually start to get – it gets harder and harder for them to use their wrestling.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But this Islam guy can throw him. It could be just an absolute barn burner.
Get down to your local bolo, pub, wherever you Lennox. Can to watch it. Get it on Fox or pay-per-view. I'm sure there'll be a big
crowd.
It'll
be a sick one. And, you know, cheer him on. He's our fucking main guy for the UFC. Let's see him fucking.
Gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that'll be good. Six Nations rugby got underway over the weekend. For those rugby fans that are starved for it or craving a little bit, get on and tune in. Ireland belted Wales. So, not
surprising.
No not surprises. So surprising. Ireland, probably the best team in the world with France. France did it reasonably hard against Italy, just shows how much Italy are improving. I mean, and they're not a side I'd want to be running into in the World Cup just for fear that they could knock you off on their day. So, and the other game, which was an absolute cracker, which me and you watched, was Scotland and England. Scotland have now beaten England three times in a row. They've never done it in their history. And they beat them at Twickenham. New coaches. Scotland scored one of the best tries, individual tries from Doohan van der Merwe that you'll ever see. So if you haven't checked it out on YouTube.
What was his name?
Doohan van der Merwe. He's a South African guy with a bit of Scottish in him.
I was going to say, fuck, that's a cool name for a Scottish name. Sounds like a motorbike.
Yeah, it sounds very Scottish, doesn't it?
Well, it's like a William Wallace. A bit different to William Wallace.
Yeah.
But, so some bit of, like, good to have some, you know, international rugby back, see big crowds, that sort of stuff. It's No, that was good. But the other thing too, NFL. I reckon we do a big preview on Friday because we've probably got a bit of shit to talk about then. But that's coming up. Woody, who's playing? The Super Bowl or the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, ball, I don't even know. But Philadelphia Eagles against the Kansas City Chiefs, two best teams probably all year. They were the two, I'm pretty sure, number one seeds from both conferences.
Yep. Jordan Mulata, Aussie, he's our man.
Yep.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and they've got two brothers, so the Kelce brothers. So one, they're both star players.
Kelce brothers, yeah.
Both star players on each team. Travis Kelce's the tight end for Kansas City.
Yep.
Does a lot, you know, he's sort of the, it's like Brady and Gronk, how they were together. It's like Mahomes and Kelce, they fucking just go off together. And then his brother plays as a, he's a linesman, like a center. He's a big boy.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yep. I can't remember his first name, but he's been there. He won the Super Bowl, beat Brady's New England Patriots a few years ago. So he's kind of one of the captains, I guess, one of the older guys. I think he's a couple years older than Travis. So if you're a mum and dad, go on to that one.
Fuck, that'd be pretty good.
You're going to be pumping someone's tyres up and maybe fucking getting on the piss with the other one.
Are they the first brothers ever to play against each other in a Super Bowl?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, but probably in quite some time for sure.
Yeah.
One stat that stands out is that it's the first time that you've had two black quarterbacks play in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Which I think is...
Which is big.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so you've got
Jalen Hurts and Mahomes.
Yep.
You know, so which is you know, fantastic. I think it just shows you where US sports come, you know, where it's come from. And I was actually watching the Super 10 basketball on the weekend, and it was quite interesting. It's not that long ago, as in 30, 40 years ago, that American blacks could not even play in the Super 10.
Yeah.
Like, so the country's moved a fair way. So
there's not a bad show on Netflix with Colin Kaepernick. He's just done one on his own story and race relations. And in terms of his, like, now, a lot of people may be against Colin and what he stands for and that, but I watched it with my son and I thought it was really well done to get an insight into what he faced growing up.
Yeah, I watched that.
What do you think, Kondo?
Oh, I just think it's a real positive with where American, well, society, but, you know, probably led by American sport has come from. So, you know, I know just sitting here in the US and watching a lot of the NFL sort of programs each night, you know, Mahomes has been really outspoken about really endorsing the fact that, you know, this is the first Super Bowl that has had two black Americans as the quarterbacks, which I think it's good. I think it should be highlighted and they should get behind it. And, you know, this Aussie, you know, Jordan Mulata, like, you know, I know you guys sort of touched on it, but the press over here is just off the charts. Like, that guy is, he's not good. He's an absolute superstar over here.
Yeah, he's,
you know, signed a 4-year deal at the end of last year, $64 million, playing at 165 kilos. I think he's in the top 10 rated in his position in the US.
What position does he play? Is he a pass rusher?
Left tackle. He's, you know, the blind side, Michael Orr. He's the blind side. He's the quarterback's back.
Is he the one who's too big for him?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. So he was on 10 grand at the Rabbitohs before he left and was, you know, basically summed up as being too big for NRL. And, I mean, at 165 kilos, he's no small human.
He's like 6'7" or 8".
and he just sits there and protects Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, so he's going against going against all the bad boys running, you know, all the pass rushers. I see. I thought he was a big defender.
Nah.
On his career that they put out today, actually, is they reckon by the end of his career, if he stays uninjured or doesn't run into too many bad injuries, he will earn $300 million.
Yeah, oh, wow. Well, fuck. Good on him.
That's a bit better than 10 grand at the Rabbitohs.
Here we are whinging about blokes getting on crazy money at the Bunnies and that. It just doesn't compare, does it? The kickers in most NFL teams are earning more than, say, Dale Cherry Evans.
Yeah.
Who's the highest earner in it.
And they can play till they're 45 because they come out for 1 minute a game.
Anyway, Woody, you made a good point. I think we just finished. We've been going for a fair while today, but we finished with one thing, which is get off the fence. You name the topic.
I'm just going to tap into this, Kondo. I'm sure you've seen it. Obviously, the WSL have brought out this equality the trans stuff with the transgender stuff. Yeah. when I first watched, obviously Jessie Miley-Dyler is the, I guess, the CEO or the, you know, the, she's the main sort of person that organises everything. She did the statement on the WSL Instagram in regards to trans people, and she spoke about males transitioning from males to females. If they have 12 months of transitioning, they're, I guess they're, is it estrogen levels are at a certain level. After 12 months, they're able to compete with the women in the women's tour. She did not touch on anything the other way, on women transitioning to males and going to compete.
Testosterone levels?
Yeah, they didn't even touch on that. She didn't touch on whether she spoke with the athletes already on tour, so the women and men. And she didn't really touch on really anything other than that statement. And it just fucking doesn't sit well with me at all. And I'm not – pick your own life, pick whatever you want to do, but don't come and try and fucking get in on a sport. To me – I don't know how you guys say it, but for me, in all these American sports that's happening already, swimming, UFC, basketball, whatever, and they're allowing it to happen, I've got a daughter. I just think it's fucking completely wrong. I think it's completely wrong. And I'm not against you changing to a woman or changing to a man, but you've just lost the privilege to compete in that genre or in that, I don't know. I don't feel like I would hate for my daughter to be in a swimming race and put all this energy in and a male that's grown up gotten kicked her ass. I don't know how I'd explain that to her.
I don't know. I think you can do all the hormonal shit you want, but as soon as you go through puberty, you've got an advantage over a female competitor.
Forever, really.
Forever.
Don't you?
Like, it's like guys who do roids and then, you know, and then get off it and say, well, I'm not on it anymore. Well, you've already built that muscle mass and that power to be able to carry it forward. I'm totally with you, mate. Like, if you want to become a fan, that's fine. That's no dramas at all. But then go back and play. You can dress up as a girl and go play with the boys because that's, you know what I mean, and playing. And that's how we should be accepting in society, I think.
That's right. Well, put it this way. Surfing's in the Olympics, right? Let's say female gets beaten by a male who's
well, let's talk Kelly Slater. Kelly Slater decides.
Well, Kelly Slater decides to become a female. He could be winning female WSL events till he's about 95.
And that's the thing. Like,
I
was a washed up fucking qualifying guy that just didn't make
it. You could go and make a living. What would you call yourself?
I cut my dick off and go and do
Jacinta Wu.
Jacinta Wu. I go and fucking make the tour, get Red Bull, fucking then become on, I get on the cover of the Weet-Bix, you know, I'm the our world with that stuff is fucking upside down with the sporting side of stuff.
Where do we
where do you draw the line?
No, where do you draw the line? Because we're talking professional here. We're saying no way about it, but let's talk amateur. Can you do it at amateur? Because it doesn't matter.
No.
I agree with you.
Fuck no.
But that's the other debate is, well, if it's not competitive, we should be caring more about the person.
That's exactly.
Paralympics. Like, they don't go and race against, like, there's someone that's not missing a leg or two legs racing against Usain Bolt. They've got their own Olympics.
Yep.
Trans can have their own surf comp. It can be down at the beach. Fucking join, make a trans surf comp.
Would be in it, like
I don't know, but if you're not well in the head and you want to be special and you want some trophies, shit can get pretty crazy in your head. I don't know,
but I think what we're all saying is obviously if you want to go and do that, like if within you that you feel that you are representing as a woman, that's completely
that's not even a conversation.
You're
born as a male,
in relation to sport.
Is it fairness?
And is being testing for under so many levels of estrogen or testosterone for 2 years, like you say, there's lasting effects of being a male for 30 years that you will get physically forever.
My other thing as well is on what the WSL have done. Why not worry about that when it fucking comes to your doorstep? Who's the dude that's trying to fucking call?
You know what I mean?
They've jumped the gun to try and politically
correct.
Yeah. Like, fuck it off. Don't even say anything until someone's doing something.
Look, I reckon it's pretty simple with the WSL. I reckon there's a bit of a hidden agenda that's been driven for whatever reason. All I'd say is go and listen to Bethany Hamilton today. Yeah, she sums it up there.
That's what, yeah, I listened to her.
What did she say? What's the gist, Kondo?
Well, basically that the athletes haven't been consulted. The governing body has just sat themselves in a room in the corner where, I don't know, maybe two or three people have discussed it and just come out with this agenda that they're going to run. So she wasn't making the comment in respect of, you know, is it the right or is it the wrong? She was probably in line with Woody's sort of direction. But how the fuck do you make this decision where you're not consulting anyone?
I just think they need someone, like a sporting organisation from amateur through to professional.
For transgender.
For transgender. Start your own league. They don't get to mix
totally
in.
Agree.
You make that decision
and that,
and you're already dealing
and that's
with
where, and that's pretty much where Bethany was heading.
Yeah.
And I think that's correct.
I wonder if they did make their own league, would there be actual constraints then on how far you go? Because, you know, it'd almost like be a decide. Wouldn't there be like a ranking
like
of
a
tiered thing of what actual stage you are in your...
Like if you've still got your testicles, you
can't. Yeah, well, no, but that's a legitimate point because you're doing disabled. You can't,
yeah, that's right.
You can't have one leg and I go two, three arms. You know, like it's there's tier for a reason.
Well, it's like in the... like the rugby league, for example, you know, if you have a certain pair of shorts on or a certain, you know, say you're missing a leg, you may not be able to be tackled like a bloke is who has an intellectual disability, for example. So it's different in the sense that depending on your disability.
If
how would you do it, mate? Just out of curiosity. So
Benny Roach talked us through that. As in, you know, the qualification on the different levels. So, you know, I think you're 100% correct, Barnsley. I think that's how to sum it up. Not that, oh, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, I think, you know, I want to be a female and I want to go and compete and I want to go and compete at WSL level or, you know, Olympics or whatever. Like, yeah, I just don't know. I'm with Woody.
I just think if you're a trans person and you want to start competing in obviously the genre that you've trans to. So if you're a male and you want to compete in the females, no, come up with a fucking another way to do it. Get your trans crew together and start a trans board for that genre.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to accommodate and build something or allow them in to compete against them just because there's one or two people. Like get a group, start an organization, do it. Like they've built surfing, they've built basketball since the fucking early 1900s or whatever, you know. Pro surfing's been around since 75. I just find it really hard and I feel like they've jumped on something just to maybe make themselves look good. And if anything, they've probably lost more respect. It just seems like it was really unnecessary and especially unnecessary at the time they've done it. Do it when they need.
I totally agree.
Do it when they need to do it. You're at your premier.
Yeah, and I also reckon, Woody, in summary, is I think the WSL have got way bigger issues to solve than worrying about, you know, being the good guy at the moment and going, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to endorse that. Like, get your shit fucking organised with what you're currently doing first.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway.
All right, I reckon that's a wrap for this week, unless you blokes got anything else.
Nah, that's it for me.
Kondo, you've got 3 days left on the holiday of a lifetime, mate. When are you home?
Kondo's final word. I'm signing off tonight because the next one we do, Kondo will be back on Kondo's couch at the end of the week, is if you are in New York anytime in the next 12 months and you can dial in the date, do not miss going and seeing Jerry Seinfeld live. Unbelievable.
Yeah, good.
Love it, mate. Look forward to seeing you come Friday. Travel safe.
Smoke here. We only set fire through the microphones.